Thank you. Good morning, everybody. In the interest of complete transparency, it is worth saying that I like to present as somebody who is confident, capable, and organized. I have to say this morning, sadly, that was not true. As I was leaving the house, I discovered that I'd lost the pen drive with the PowerPoint on it. I was sure it was on the table. That was definitely where I'd put it, only to find at 10:15 that I'd actually left it in my dressing gown pocket, which is obviously what I was going to wear for church today. there we go. However, it's here, which is good news. We are looking at a series called The Big I, aren't we? A series that looks at our identity in Christ, who we really are, and then looks at the things that can take the place of that if we are not careful. We have been reminded that we are children of God, that we are adopted sons and daughters, loved by our Father in heaven, incredibly valuable to him. We heard last week one of my favorite bits when Phil shared about telling his son that he loved him all the way to Nigeria and back. What a great image that was, and reminding us that God loves us so much, he sent his son all the way to the cross for us. That is indeed a very high price, and we have phenomenal value. But the question for us, of course, is, do we believe that? Because when we lose sight of that, we do become insecure. Broadly speaking, then, security is about being confident and being free from a fear and a doubt of who we are. And when that truth isn't in our head, when it really isn't in our heart, that we are loved by the Most High King, that he has adopted us as his children, we start to look for our security in other places. And today we're going to look at the idol of image. When we look for our value in what other people think of us and present something that actually isn't truth to other people. Perhaps we could move on to the next slide. Is that possible? There we go. That is me. I'm glad you laughed. I hate this photograph with a passion, with an absolute passion. It causes my family much hilarity every time we go away. What I have to say, to my incredible disappointment, is I have never presented it and them saying, "Nah, that's not you." It is clearly an accurate representation of me, whether I like it or not. Does it matter what other people think of me? Well, yes, actually it does. You know, we're called to have a good reputation. We are called to make it, as much as it depends on us, to live at peace with everybody. Those things are important. But when it matters to us more what people think of us than what God thinks of us, when it controls us or contains us, when it causes us to live a lie, then our image has become an idol, and we need to do something about that. We need to remember that God is a relational God. At the heart of who he is triune God. He is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in constant communion. And he invites us in to that. He wants an open and honest relationship with each one of us. That was what the cross was about, fixing a broken relationship with us. And he wants us to have good relationship with each other. Psalm 133 says how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. That is where God brings his blessing. But to have those relationships requires us to be honest with ourselves, with God, and with those that we are close to, with each other. And actually, this honesty is not necessarily as easy as it sounds. Our desire to hide who we really are is as old as the Garden of Eden. Listen to this in Genesis 3. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the wife and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So right back at the fall, we began the big cover-up. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God and from each other who they really were, instead of being open and vulnerable and completely transparent. They hid the bits that they were ashamed of. They tried to make themselves more presentable by hiding themselves, by pulling back from being totally open and vulnerable with each other and with God. When what others think of us becomes so important that we try to manage how we are seen, the problem fundamentally is one of deception. It literally puts a barrier up. It's a covering that has the potential to rob us of intimacy with God and intimacy with one another. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes we have to kind of play a role, don't we? In school, I'd like to think that I have a reputation of being a strict teacher. I'd like to think so. I think it's important. I think it's important because I think it's really valuable to the pupils in my care that they come into my classroom and they are able to learn. They're not distracted by poor behaviour of other people. I think it's important because I lead a team. And if they can't depend on me when things go wrong, if I'm not there and calling the shots and strict and clear, then that can cause problems in their classrooms too. There's an issue with that. Of course, I can also come across as unapproachable, and I'm aware of that. And that's certainly not something I would want to bring in to my relationships with those that I'm close to. I have to be vulnerable with those people. I have to choose to be accepted for who I really am. You know, Jesus called out the Pharisees, didn't he, in Matthew 23, on this very subject. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." The Message puts that last sentence like this: people look at you and think you're saints, but beneath the skin, you're total frauds. Whoever we're fooling, we're not fooling God. He sees right into the heart of who we are. But that's not to condemn us at all. He loves us. He doesn't want to live with that veil of separation. When Jesus died, the veil was torn in two for an intimate relationship with us, why would we put up another one? When we put all our efforts into externals, and when we present ourselves on the outside in a way that hides who we really are, what we can find is that the inside goes rotten. We keep things in the dark. We don't examine ourselves too closely. We don't allow God in so that he can help us to break free and to gently deal with us. 1 John 1:5 to 10 says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." We need to make every effort to bring who we are into the light, because that's where the transforming power is found, to change. I want to take a few minutes. This is such a vast topic. I have to tell you, there's about 20 pages of notes on my table ready to go in the recycling bin at home. This is what I've distilled it down to. And so I'm clearly not going to cover everything. But I want to take a few minutes to consider one of the most obvious expressions of our obsession with externals at present: social media. There are many, many good and positive things to say about social media, and there are very many negative things to say as well, but I want to look particularly in this context and how actually social media can have a really negative effect and can be quite harmful. Now, I want to be clear, okay, that the deception is ours. Social media is the tool, isn't it? But the deception, the cover-up, is ours. But it gives us a global audience. And we can use it to try and manage how we are seen to be, to such an extent that we completely hide who we are from other people. And it puts a barrier between us and others. It can lead to deceit, to lies, to lack of trust, and even to breakdown of relationships. And that is so sad. And we can depersonalize it, can't we? We can say, "Oh, that's social media. Oh, that's us using social media." We don't have to search very far, I don't think, in our own hearts to know that we all have the tendency to present the best bits. The edited version of my life looks much better than the reality. Looks much more exciting. And is that okay? Is that okay? Dare I say, on the face of it, it is. What could possibly be the problem with a post of my wonderful family? If we could just show my wonderful family. Where's the harm? They're gorgeous. Makes me happy just to look at them. You may not feel similarly, though. But I feel like, you know, it surely that connects us. Maybe you feel more informed about what's going on in my life if I post a great picture of my family. But does it? I'm not suggesting that we post everything, warts and all. I don't think there's very much wisdom in that, to be honest. But there can be a lack of integrity, I think, if we only post the best bits. If we carefully stage manage something that we're doing and have about 100 discarded selfies before we get the one that we're pretty happy with. It's okay, maybe my nose looks a bit big, but, you know, it'll do. If you're only my friend on Facebook, you don't know me at all. You really don't. And I expect that if I'm only your friend on Facebook, I don't know you either. Because I don't think you can tell from the photos and the comments and the likes what's really going on in my life. I took a moment yesterday to scroll back over the last year and to look at the pictures that I'd posted, the comments that had been made. And the truth of it is, I know where the false smiles are. I can look at some pictures where people have commented and liked, and they're so painful to me. I can barely look at them. But you wouldn't know that by just looking at my page. When we present an external version of ourselves that hides our reality, there are a number of different areas that it can affect. Firstly, we can deceive ourselves. We can believe our own press. And we can begin to think that we're something that we're not. That can lead to pride and to arrogance and to a superiority that is completely misplaced. When we look and think, well, look at me. No. Secondly, we deceive other people. And there are a multitude of issues here, a ripple effect. When we post a cover-up, well, do you know what? We can leave ourselves actually terrified that we're going to be uncovered as a fraud. That can lead us to pulling back from other people, stepping away from relationships, not being real. And behind that mask, behind that page, builds up all the rubbish. We become the whitewashed tomb. We don't know how to let it out anymore. When we read a post and totally believe it, forgetting, of course, that we only post our best bits, yeah, and we totally believe it, and we should filter it with our own filter, which is just look at the best bits, please. We can find ourselves feeling like a failure. We're sure we're missing out. Our lives are not as good as everybody else's. And again, do you know what? We can hide that because we don't want to admit that our lives don't look that good. We can't bear the comparison, so we pretend it's okay. Or we take offense. We feel left out. Somebody did something and I wasn't invited. We feel out of the loop. It breaks down relationships. And we can find that instead of being happy for people, we can, in fact, open ourselves up to a whole array of unhelpful feelings. Envy, intolerance, frustration, ridicule, judgment, even anger. These are emotions that can really have a negative effect on our relationships. Instead of feeling more connected, we actually feel more isolated. In my research for this talk, I decided to ask the opinion of my department because I'm an old woman, as they like to point out. And there's a wide range of ages in my department. Most of them are in their 20s. I've got a couple in their 30s, and then there's me and Abby, and Mark's around sometimes, and, you know, there we go. So I just was talking to them about social media, and amongst the many things that they said, and they said some very interesting things, not much of it positive, interestingly. Certain, surprised me, because they spend a lot of time on it. But there we go. But one of the, you know, one of them said, I think I'm addicted to it. First thing I do when I wake up is check Facebook, scroll through it throughout the day. It's the last thing I do at night. I think I'm addicted. I think that's wrong. Not that she's going to do anything about it, but she thinks it's wrong. Somebody else thinks it's a time waster. Should I find myself thinking, why on earth am I scrolling through 42 million pictures of a photograph taken seconds before tragedy? I don't know why I do it, but I do. Okay. But in this context, this is what I found quite interesting. And I was sadly not very surprised about it either. That they all mute people that they find irritating. And when you ask about what's irritating about people, oh, it's the braggy people. It's the braggy ones that have the perfect family. It's the braggy ones. I know what's really going on, but there they all are looking amazing. It's the braggy ones. I can't be doing with it. They don't like something that doesn't have integrity. Do you know what I mean? They like what they see to match up. Now, their lives may not do that, but what they're wanting is authenticity, where what they see is what they know is going on. And very often, when it's not, they mute. So we have this very interesting state of affairs, don't we? We have people posting potentially questionable truth, trying to paint a good picture of themselves. We have people reading and believing questionable versions of the truth and getting upset by it, potentially. We have people posting, thinking that the world is reading what they are posting, that everybody's interested, and we have people that are muting the people that they call friends. An interesting state of affairs. But the effect of social media, our obsession with externals, is causing a wider and possibly much more serious effect. You know, research suggests that mental health issues, particularly among young people, this won't come as any surprise, I'm sure, are linked to them comparing themselves with other people on social media. To peer pressure that they cannot escape from. It comes into their home with them 24/7. They cannot get away from it. Photographs are posted and become public property, causing irreparable damage to individuals, to families, and to friendships. This is a huge and far-reaching problem. And we do need to remain prayerful for those in positions of influence and authority in the area of social media. I don't know what the answer is. It seems huge, vast, and ever-growing. We need to pray for those people that have been affected by the damaging effects of social media. I wonder if the musicians would like to come up now, just while we think and reflect. I'd like you to just read this verse that's coming up now. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. In the context of everything, in the context of everything, we are children of God. But maybe we just need to reflect and remember that we also have an enemy that prowls around looking to devour us, to pick us off one by one. Are we in that danger zone? Have we isolated ourselves by presenting an image or by believing images of other people that are causing us to be ripe for the picking of the enemy? We need to search our hearts for where we need to change our practice, not just in the area of social media, but maybe fast social media for a while. While I was preparing this talk, one of my daily readings was actually, is there anything that you need to fast from that is causing you to be distracted? Well, when you're preparing a talk like this, you kind of know what it is you should be fasting from. And so I am. We need to find ourselves again more concerned with who God knows us to be rather than who the world perceives us to be. I want to give opportunity for prayer and response while we sing in a moment for some particular areas. I mean, if you want prayer for anything, you're very welcome to come forward. The prayer team will be here, of course. But there are a few things. I think as I prayed and as I prepared, I think there's someone here. And you think you are successfully hiding a specific sin from God and from other people. God wants you to know that he knows. He sees into the heart of who you really are. I have a sense of a ticking time bomb strapped to you. You are terrified and hope it will never go off. But you know that if it does, there's going to be an awful mess. You can bring it to God. He wants to look you in the eyes, stand with you, and control the explosion. He loves you, and it breaks his heart that you are where you are at the moment. Secondly, if you think maybe social media has some kind of grip on you, an addiction in your life, maybe you, like my friend, wake up and check it all day, miss out on being present with people that are in the same room because you're constantly checking for your likes, for your comments, for affirmation that lasts such a short time. You know you need to break that cycle. Maybe if you know that you're stuck in a place where people-pleasing is containing and controlling you, and you need God's help to see things differently and to break free from the grip that has on you. If you know God's spoken and you need to take a stand to say that you won't let what people think of you hold you back from all that God has for you, then respond. Hopefully you're not too worried about what people think of you to come forward for prayer. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? We're going to sing now. And I just want you to respond in your own hearts. If you want prayer for any of those things, please come forward. Thank you for listening.